can give that this time and be dismissed to Mr. Randy. What? Do what? That's how it is, Mallory. Yes. You never noticed I've had it for a month. Yeah, you can hear. Can y'all hear me okay? Yeah, it's always like this, the way it's made. It's a new one. The other one curved, this one nothing. That's okay. It's just the way it's made. You got to love your wives. Always looking out for you. All righty. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3 this morning. And my message is Curse No More. And that song that Dee sung is a perfect introduction to what I want to talk about. That how we need a Savior. We needed a Savior and we need a Savior. And without the Savior, we'd still be in need. But thank God we're not anymore because of Jesus. We hear a lot about works versus grace. We hear a lot about the law versus grace. We have a lot of people who are trying to earn their way to heaven by their good deeds still today. And we think those good deeds make them holier than someone else. We think those good deeds earn them a golden ticket. We think the more they do for God, the more favor God shows them, all those things. Well, this message here truly talks about how we're saved and why we're saved. And it's about the grace of Jesus, laws that we couldn't keep, that he kept for us. If all of us were depending on our list of goodness to get us to heaven, if we have any kind of honesty at all, I think we all would realize we would fall very, very short. I told you about the guy I talked to one day, this is years ago. I mean, he was serious. He said he hadn't sinned in like so many months or something. So I hadn't sinned, this, and he gave me a number. I'm like, okay. Cuckoo. I think none of us can say that. You know, the best we can say probably is I've not sinned since I've maybe had breakfast. You know, that might be the extent of our sin-free zone. But Galatians 3, Paul is talking here about us being redeemed from the curse. Now, if you've been in church very long, you've heard this word. I remember Brother Henderson had a message one time years ago titled Reverse the Curse. And this is what it's talking about. And I did not copy that message in honor of him. So I covered I really wanted that. And I'm like, no, that was his message. I'm not going to do that title. And so I put cursed no more. But what really did happen was Jesus reversed the curse. So let's talk in Galatians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is saying, how are you born again? How are you a Christ follower? Is it by the works of the law, or is it by hearing faith of who he was? I'm going to tell you something. The day that we begin to walk in the freedom of his grace is a day a great burden lifted off of our shoulders. You know what happens with the law? It brings a burden. It brings a struggle. It brings oppression. It brings condemnation. It brings all of these things in our lives that we don't need to deal with because Jesus dealt with it for us. Now, I'm not saying we go out and party, okay? I'm not saying we go out and do whatever we want with no regard to what God thinks. But when we really accept Jesus by faith, because the Bible says it's his goodness that draws men to him. It's his goodness. When you know God loves you in your pitiful, nasty, ugly, pathetic, rotten, dark state. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank God for some honest people in this house today. I know it's not very exhortating right there, right? But that's where we are. We are born with a nature that wants to do wrong. We're born with a nature that wants to do bad. The temptation is always there to pull us the wrong way. And so we have that. And so Paul is saying, are you following Christ through faith? Or are you still trying to keep all of this stuff to be there? We have a lot of religious orders that are all about the works, all about the laws. We have major denominations that really focus on that. You know, Mormonism is really about law and works. Jehovah's Witness is about law and works. Islam is about law and works. Catholicism is about law and works. Judaism's about law and works. We have all these denominations that are about laws and works, not realizing that Jesus did all the work. Period. He did the work. And we know that we have a God who loves us so much. And his love is not based on how we treat each other, right? I mean, there's any of us in here could make each other mad to the point we wouldn't talk to each other, right? Nancy Rose could get her feelings hurt to the point she wouldn't like you no more. She would just diss you, and you better sleep with one eye open. That's all I'm saying. So, aren't you glad God's not like that? God loves you so much that through your sin, through your rebellion, through your dirty thoughts and your dirty talk and your dirty mind and all of your weekly things that pull you away from the things of God that make you not holy, he still loves you. And when the world sees that this Jesus, who sees my mistakes and failures, still loves me, that he died for me, then something happens with us. We want to serve God because he loves us. You know, I love doing things for my wife because I love her. I use that example all the time. I really do. I like doing stuff for my kids because I love them. I drove Ashley's car this morning. Her tire light was on. It's been on for a while. So it's freezing cold this morning, right? So I stop at Sheets on the way to church and blow up all four tires for her just because I love her. And I want her safe. I don't want to be bothered with the blowout later. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Look what he says here. Having begun in the spirit, and you're now made perfect by the flesh. Yeah, now, build a series on this. There's nothing wrong with this. We need to do this, okay? I'm just using examples. Yeah, I've been fasting for 5 days. Do I look holier? No, but you look a little skinnier and paler. Do I look more righteous? I gave more than anybody in the church this morning. Boy, God's going to woo, woo, love me. Your pastor will. God loves us that he died for us apart from how we act. The Bible says while we were still in our sins, while we were still ungodly, he died for us. The Bible says we all come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. There's no way any of us. And the Galatians are like, okay, we heard about Jesus. We're starting this journey following his plan. But, remember I said a few weeks ago, if you add the word but to anything, it's really not faith. I mean, it's really not. If you add a but to it, it's not faith anymore. You're mixing something besides faith in there. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but. Well, I know I'm saved, but. No, there's no buts to it. We are saved by the price that Jesus paid. We were under a curse. We'll get to that in just a minute. That's the good stuff, the curse. We were under a curse. We'll talk about what that curse is. And we're no longer under that curse anymore. Not because of what we've done. Because of what Jesus did. Not because of our works and our good deeds. Because of what he did. The price that he paid. How can we start out by faith and then still try to secure our salvation through works? We're all going to come very, very short of that because our works don't measure up. Because even if we don't commit the big sins naturally, we think them or we speak them. Sin is part of our nature. It's why it's easier to act bad than it is to act good. It's why you teach your children to act good. You don't teach them to act bad. That comes automatically, all natural. Starting out in faith, but then you start thinking the law can save you and perfect you. Skip down to verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, as he believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham became righteous because of his faith in God, not because of anything that he did. His faith in God. The Bible talks about Job being Bible says he was a perfect and upright man. He wasn't perfect in the sense that he was perfect. It just means he was a God-fearing man, an upright man that believed in God. He wasn't perfect. Job was not born sinless either. Abraham believed by faith, and now he had righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith are the same as the children of Abraham. Faith. I think Bill said a couple weeks ago about having faith like, in Sunday school, about faith like a child. Your little children, little Emma back there, will believe anything Mama tells her, right? Anything. She's got faith. If Mama says, Emma, that's bad, don't do that. Okay, Mama. Not all kids do that, but I'm sure Emma does. She doesn't. Okay. Let's pick a good kid in this place, Blake. But the point is, our kids have faith in us when they're little. They have that childlike faith, you know, that they believe what we tell them. They really do. Why don't we believe what God tells us? Why don't we let other people influence us instead of God's word? God's word says, I loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting. I loved you with a covenant that will never be broken. My love is not based on your condition. In fact, my love was based on your condition, your broken condition. So I came in to fix your broken condition. And you're not broke no more. You're not broke no more, church. You have been redeemed. You have been restored. You have been reconciled unto Christ through faith in him. We add so much pressure to ourselves thinking that we have to do all of these things to earn the favor of God when it's faith in Christ. And you know what happens when we really receive that faith of Christ? We begin to walk in that faith, and we begin to act in that faith, and we operate in that faith. It won't be that I have to. It'll be because I love God. That old song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything, than to be the king of a vast domain. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. When God is our first love, we will follow God willingly. It won't be we have to. It won't be we're forced to. It'll be because we want to. It'll be our heart's desire to serve him and be in his house and be in his presence and follow his plan because we love him. Verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. The word heathen actually means foreigner. That God would justify the foreigner, the one outside the plan of Israel, through faith. We're justified through faith. Preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The word justified means to be declared righteous. I want you to picture this. God Almighty, the supreme being of all creation, looks at you and says, Gail, you are righteous. You're like, how can I be righteous? And God says, because of me. Because I've made you righteous. I've cleaned the slate. I've washed away your sins. I kept the covenant and the law in order that you wouldn't have to. We cannot keep the law, church. None of us can keep all the commandments. None of us can keep them. And if it's up to the commandments and law to see Jesus, we all would fall short. But God has justified us and made us free. I'm not cursed no more. I've been redeemed. I've been restored. I'm under no more curse. Look at verse 10. Here it talks about the curse, what this really is. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the book of the law to do them. That's quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. That's exactly an exact quote of that chapter. If you choose to live your life under the works and deeds of your flesh, then you choose the sentence and punishment that comes with that. I don't want to be under a curse. I don't want to be cursed by God. I want to be set free by God. I don't want to be under the condemnation and judgment of God. I want to be under the righteousness and justification of God. And so we have something to choose here. There's a lot of people that do a lot of good things that are, you know, that do good deeds, but haven't truly placed their faith in him. They've not placed their faith in him because they don't understand. I think we're all born with that thing to want to, you know, do good and achieve and think that our good deeds make us more than what we are. Instead of humbling ourselves saying, God, I can never do enough good deeds to ever come close to your approval and your holiness. And once we recognize that, we begin to realize, thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you, Lord, that you redeemed me. Thank you, Lord, that you healed me. Thank you, Lord, that you looked at me in all of my ways and loved me anyway. That you look at me and you love me in spite of. You hear my words and you see my thoughts. And God, you see the inner parts of my heart. And yet your love still loves me after I fail over and over and over and over. You know why we fail over and over? Because we were created in a fallen sin nature. And that sin nature causes us to fail over and over and over. It does not mean you're not God's child because you fail. It does not mean you're not redeemed because you mess up. It does not mean you're not loved by the Almighty just because you do things you shouldn't do. When we get in our mind, God is not about me, it's about what you did. And God, I want to follow you. I want to love you. I want you to lead my life in all that I do. I want you to be part of my decisions. I want you to be part of my steps. I want to listen to your Holy Spirit, as I talked about last Sunday. Listen to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead my life. When we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, then our lives are a lot different. And living by the law and by the works is not necessarily always following the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Say, God, what would you have me do? And the Holy Spirit will keep us. And the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to want to serve God. I actually shared a post the other day, and it's a beautiful post that she shared. It said, paraphrasing, you know, I don't love God because someone told me to, or it's because I've experienced it for myself. Man, when you experience God for yourself, nobody can take it away from you. I can preach, like the old saying, take a horse to water, can't make them drink it. I can preach. I've been pastoring 18 years now. I know there's people that's come and gone, and people that may have never really heard, people that never received it, people that never, you know, grabbed on to it. And I can't control that. They have to experience that for themselves. They have to experience the power and the presence of God for them. I had a Holy Ghost, still do, Holy Ghost shouting, dancing grandma. I've got a Holy Ghost seen her shout mama. Even my dad shouting a couple times back in the day. And when dad shouts, look out, because that's not him. That's not his nature. You know the spirit doesn't hit when dad starts to move. See my grandpa shout many times under the power of God. I've shouted through the years many times. Gordon has shouted many times. Bill, I'm sure, has shouted many times under the power of God. Where the power just hits you and you start moving. People make fun of you. Well, they sure don't make fun of the ones dancing apple bottom jeans in the club, do they? Boots with the fur. They don't make fun of you then. I came out of a generation of breakdancing, right? And they clear the floor, make a circle. And the worm, remember the worm? I'll do it for you, but we got concrete floor. All these nobody makes fun of that. The robot, the moonwalk. I mean, man. But let the spirit hit somebody. They're weird. Okay, we're weird because we're dancing for Jesus. I think what's weird is when the Washington Redskins, Washington football team, when they would be in the stands and you got 300-pound men stripped off of half their clothes with hog noses on their nose in dresses called the Hogettes. That's weird.
That's fun.
It's fun, yeah, but it's weird. And we celebrate that. There's a place in the Cleveland Browns Stadium called the Dog Pound. That's weird. Bill's daughter used to pretend to be a cat. That was weird. I'm just saying, when the Spirit hits us and we celebrate Jesus, the world thinks we're weird. Who else should we be dancing for? Who else should we be praising? Who else should we be celebrating but the King of Kings? We were made to worship. We were created to worship. We were created to bow our knees and lift our hands and raise our voice and declare the good works of the Lord. We were born for that. Psalms 34:1, let praise continually be in your mouth at all times, no matter what you're going through. Now we have something to praise God for, because we are no longer, as a believer, walking under a curse from God. I want you to think about this. Some people, you know, make statements like, I'm just cursed, or my life's cursed, or my body's cursed, or my home's cursed, or my, you know, whatever. We make statements like that, right? That, you know, we feel like there's a cursing against us. There is no cursing of God against you anymore as a believer. Can you imagine living your lives in complete fear every day of the judgment and wrath of God taking your life? Gordon, as believers, we don't have that problem to worry about anymore. God, you paid the price for that judgment that was against me. God, you set me free. Thank God you set me free. As the song says, he set me free, right? No more in bondage, no more whatever. Y'all know, I don't need songs. All right, verse 11. No man. No religious man, no priest, no pastor, no evangelist, no apostle, no good person, no saint, no deacon. Nobody is justified by the law in the sight of God. Amen. Think about it. That's pretty clear, right? No man is declared righteous by the things that they do. They are made righteous by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith that Jesus paid the price. Faith that he paid it once and for all. Faith that I'm his child every day. Faith that no matter what I see or what I do, he loves me. Faith that he did something that nobody else could do. The blood washed away all of my sins, and the blood absolutely guarantees me a position in the kingdom of God forever. Amen. Through faith. Faith. That's what Paul's whole message was, his whole life, was preaching the resurrection and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us. What does the word redeem here in this context mean? I'm glad you asked that, because I've got it on the screen for you. Look what the word redeemed means. To buy out of slavery by paying a price. The word was used when someone purchased a slave for the purpose of freeing them. Now think about this. How does that apply to us? We were trapped. We were enslaved to the judgment and power that sin brought. And Jesus bought us back with his blood and set us free. Jesus set us free. He says, no longer are you bound to the law that you can't keep. I kept it for you, my child, my son, my daughter. You are free without fear to worship me. You're free without fear to praise me. You're free without fear to live out your life and serve me every single day, knowing you don't have to worry about the next corner or the next bend, what's behind the next turn. You don't have to worry about me zapping you, getting you, gotcha moment. I'm telling you, you're free to worship. You're free to serve. You're no longer under that bondage and power that death brings because of sin. He bought me. He became a curse to set me free. He became bound to set me free. He became a prisoner to set me free. He died so I could live forevermore. This is the great love of our Savior that the world needs to hear over and over and over. For those that don't believe, for those that think it's no big deal, for those that don't believe in the next rim, the next step, there's something beyond this. Jesus did this so we would spend eternity with him in his presence. I mean, that's pretty powerful, to buy out of slavery by paying a price. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. And I'm not going back. And don't let people put you in a box because of their religious ways. There's a big difference in religion and in Jesus. There's a big difference in religion and the grace of Jesus Christ. And whenever we experience grace, you know, I'll use my daughter, for example, and Nick. They're a young couple in here. Nick is 19. Are you 20 yet? So Nick is 19. Ashley is 18. So here are two young people that voluntarily come to church. Ashley's 18. I'd be very disappointed, but I'm not going to make her come to church. She's 18. She's an adult. She comes. Nick gets up in the mornings, 19 years old, wakes up on Sunday mornings, and gets himself here. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I know Nick may have a bonus because he gets to see Ashley. I get that. But he saw her last night, so I mean, you know. Nick comes because you want to be here, right, Nick? You want to be here. It's a desire you be here in church. And Ashley's the same way. Oh, all of you are the same way. I'm just using, you know, some of our younger people that are here. And hopefully she want to be here. Maybe you drug her, I don't know. But she drug you. Good job, young person. So she drug mama. We had that Wednesday night too, actually. So that's wonderful. That same way with God. When you truly walk in faith with him, you have a desire to serve him. You have a desire to be here. You want to be here. You know, not because the pastor is hounding you. And I know I do sometimes. And during this COVID, I've kind of backed off and just taken my chances. But I know it'll backbite me. You don't care about the pastor. You don't check on me. Well, no, I've been checking on you for 8 months. Apparently, you don't want to be here, so I love you. But yeah, I ain't going to keep on. But Ashley and Nick have a desire to be here. They don't have to be. Nick's 19 years old. Ain't like his mama's in there. Get out of that bed, boy. He'll kick you out of his house. You know? He desires. He gets his little Jeep Cherokee, which is a miracle every single day, and cranks that thing up and comes to church. It's by faith he turns the ignition. All right. Bless it. Verse 14. We have been redeemed from the curse that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a Gentile. That's like another word for you, Sarah. You Gentile. See what that's like. A Gentile, that means we're not Jew, right? We weren't born, we weren't part of the Jewish covenant. So all of us are outside that covenant. But we received the same covenant blessing they did because of Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful thing. Israel was special and Israel is blessed and Israel will be saved. That is scripture. But I don't have to be in Israel to be part of that covenant. Thank God I was born in the old Davis Hospital, Statesville, North Carolina, in 19-something. And you know what? I am part of the kingdom of God, just like the covenant people of Israel were. I've got the same blessings. I've got the same outcome. I've got the same reward. Here's the beautiful thing. You may come into the game late in life, right? 65 years old, and you turn your life around, and you die the next day. I know it's terrible, Nancy Rose. I'm using an example. You know what? You got the same reward that I get when I was saved at 9 years old. Same reward. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus equalized the plan of salvation. We have many that still believe in the works and law mentality. I get letters to the mail sometimes from these kind of oddball churches. They send this information out and they'll send these packets out and I'm reading it. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, that, bless their hearts. They ain't none of them will go to heaven if they don't get this faith thing going on. Bless their hearts. I mean, church, I'm telling you, we need to understand it is about faith in the price that Jesus paid, believing that, receiving that, saying, Lord, I believe in what you did. I know I can't do it anymore on my own. I'm going to try to quit doing it on my own and trust you. It's kind of like when you go on a diet or try to lose some weight. It's much easier when you let God help you with that. It really is. I've done it through the years of my own life. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength to get through. I got a goal. I need your help on this. When I try to do it myself, it's impossible. I told Gail I went to Village Inn Pizza Wednesday. And I just got a salad. That's all I got. No pizza. I know. What? I hear y'all. What? I know. But I've got a goal, and I walked in there, and I eyeballed that. I knew I wasn't going to do it, but I still eyeballed it. I eyeballed that pizza bar, and I'm like, man, I looked at the little cashier. I said, salad and water, please. And that's all I ate. I ate a salad and a water. I didn't eat a water. I drank a water. I ate a salad and I drank a water. That's all I ate. I really did. And I took that salad bowl, and on top of my lettuce, I threw two pieces of pepperoni on top. And I didn't. I didn't know pizza. I really didn't. It was hard. But you know what? God helped me with that. God gives us what we need when we need it. Depend on Him. Anytime we try to do something by ourselves, we fail. But when we let God handle it and let God live, it changes things. I promise you it changes things. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we, James, all of you in here, might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. I've got the promise of His Spirit now. We've made it so complicated and so hard because a young person comes to the altar, right, to say, you know, I'm feeling a pull, I'm feeling a tug, I don't understand everything, but I feel like I need to be up here, and I want to give my heart to God. And then, you know, we pray with them, whatever we do. And then we'll talk to them and say, okay, now that you're saved, here's what you can't do anymore. I'm like, oh my gosh, aye, aye, aye. Let's just preach the gospel of faith. And then let the Holy Spirit of God, which they will receive, lead their own lives and guide them. And I promise you, He will. It's not a pastor's job to beat someone down with what they can't do. I've never been that way. Some of you have been with me the whole 18 years. You know this. It is about your journey, you and God's journey. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead you. I told you a story. You may not have heard it. I haven't told it in a while. I had a young man come in here, Carlos Capero, and he went door knocking. Early years of my ministry, we were doing, that's when you could door knock. Now it's kind of dangerous. But we door knocked. And he was a young guy, about 22, 23 years old, and he had a big old earring in his ears, both ears. He come to me one Sunday morning and says, Pastor, so I've got these earrings in my ear, and I'm going door knocking for the church, inviting people. Do I need to take these out? Does that bother you? And I looked at him and said, Carl, does it bother you? He says, well, I mean, why was he asking, right? Does it bother you? I see. And he said, well, no, not really. I just want to be respectful to you. I said, well, Carl, if it don't bother you, it don't bother me. It was but a few weeks later he came, and all of a sudden they were gone. I'm like, where's your earrings? Oh, I just like I didn't need them anymore. And I don't care either way. I mean, that don't affect me at all. But I'm just saying, in the religious sect, for some churches, I've talked to people recently that have asked guys to take their earrings out for to come in church. I mean, what kind of world are we in? I mean, you know, the earring in the ear is going to send you to flames. God's going to look at Gail and say, really? Maybe Tiffany put it on him in the middle of the night and he didn't know it. And he woke up within his ear and the trumpet sounds, right? Ain't his fault. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, we got to get things straight here. Realize it is by faith. Faith alone. People come to me all the time, Pastor, I drank a little bit. Is that a sin? Well, what you feeling about it? You got to be led there. You got to be led there. We got to follow our convictions. Personally speaking, I don't drink anything. I never have. To me, I think there's no good in alcohol of any kind. But I don't condemn people for doing it. I've got preacher friends I know of mine that drink. Kind of surprising, but they do. But that's their thing. Do I think drinking a beer or a glass of wine is a devil-centered thing? No, absolutely not. But I'm not released to do that. I'm not going to go up to Logan's and bring me a Long Island tea. It's not my... She's shaking her head. It's not my thing. When we allow the Spirit of God that's in us to lead us, that's what we listen to. Don't listen to them or this or me. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God is calling you to do in your life. You have been redeemed and set free. You're no longer under the cursing of God anymore. But the same token, it means that because we've been set free, a person's been set free should want to honor and love the one that set them free. Remember Grizzly Adams, the old show we talked about the other day? A couple of years ago. Being saved that little cub bear off the cliff. And that bear followed him the rest of his life. Big old Ben. He saved that little bear. You know, in some cultures, Asian cultures maybe. Maybe it's a fiction. Maybe it's just the movies. I don't know. You save someone's life. Oh, I'm indebted to you the rest of your life. Wherever you go, I go. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm indebted to you. I'm indebted. You saved me. Jesus saved us. Right, he saved us. So we should walk to follow him and love him and serve him. Thank you, God, that you removed the death penalty off of my life. I was doomed for a death penalty that would separate me from my Creator forever. And you made that right. And no more is there a separation. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creation or creature shall separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. So I walk in that faith, and I believe in that faith, and I don't care what somebody tells me I shouldn't be doing. Tell them to mind their bizwax. You and God are on this journey, and you're listening to his voice. What happens is we put people under condemnation. We take that holy Bible and we beat them like a police stick. Even Emma understands that. It is about loving them, not beating them. It's about leading them, not controlling them. It's about being an example to them. We are to serve others. The Bible teaches how we should wash each other's feet. Part of that is that we love them through their sins and through their stuff and let them know, look, God is for you and God loves you. Talk to them and turn to him. Let him help you. He wants to help you. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Oh, I don't have that, do I? Is that my last verse? Yeah, 22. But the scripture hath concluded. Look at this. The scripture hath concluded. All are under sin. Right? Let's do an exercise again. You ain't going to like it. But look at someone beside you. And say, you are under sin. You are under sin. Oh, the religious folks don't like that. I want you to know I'm a 4-time appointed deacon of the church. I'm head deacon. I'm chairman of the deacon board. I'm chairman of the fried chicken committee. I'm chairman of the committee to schedule a committee meeting committee. I know who I am. Well, you're still under sin. How many times does sin win in our lives? All the time. Man, the power of sin is real. The power of sin is strong. And that's why none of us could overcome it through all of our goodness. I'll use the example of the monks that buried themselves in these monasteries. Sorry. Monasteries. And they bury themselves, right? Or these nuns, right? That commit their whole service to, you know, nothing fun. You know what? They're still born under sin. If I come in here in a nun outfit, well, if Melanie came in, if Rodney came in, which he did one time, in a nun outfit, it doesn't make you any holier. It is faith in Christ. We're all concluded to be under sin. That's why, as D sung, we need a Savior. We are all under sin. Why? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. Why do people avoid the cross so much? Man, they look for every other way. I hear some people talk about, you know, James, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Which most of us by now know what that means. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I just believe, I believe in this. But if you don't believe that Jesus Christ alone paid the price to redeem you, nothing else is truth. If you take Jesus out of your spiritual walk, you have no spiritual walk, in my opinion. No true spiritual walk. Jesus is the cornerstone. I mean, that's like taking the Chick-fil-A sandwich out of Chick-fil-A, right? Or the Big Mac out of McDonald's. Or the Whopper out of Burger King. I mean, what have you got left? That's their cornerstone. That's their cornerstone. Jesus says that he is the cornerstone. He brings us together with him. He joins us with him. He is the foundation. The Bible says he is the only foundation. If any other person come preaching any other thing, Paul said this, let them be cursed. We can't walk this. We can't receive this. We can't be free from this apart from Jesus. We have to believe he was more than a prophet. He was more than a man that walked. He was more than one that did miracles. He was God in the flesh, born of a virgin, died, rose the third day, ascended forevermore to wipe away all of our sins and pay that price of debt we owed. And apart from him, we're still lost. If we gain the whole world, the Bible says, right? Lose our soul, what will we gain? Nothing. Nothing's there. Jesus is the cornerstone. By faith in him, we are set free. Verse 24, that faith came. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You know what Paul is saying? The law was to direct us to the point that we understood that we had to have a Savior. Because I can't keep it, Lord. God, I try to think good thoughts, but she's just stupid and I can't help it. A lot of you feel that way. I know you do. Lord, I try to do what's right, but my mouth speaks before my mind thinks. Lord, I try to overcome this, but God, I'm just, the temptation is just too strong. And I'm trying to do all these things and follow all of these rules and stuff, but God, I can't. And once we realize we can't keep them, we can't, church. There's no way we can control every thought that comes to our mind, no matter how hard we try. We're going to have wrong thoughts. We're going to do wrong things. We're going to say wrong words. I've argued with my wife. I've yelled at my kids. I have sinned. I can't control those things. They just come out sometimes, right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic. If you're like me and the lane's going from two lanes to one, and you're almost, they've had 3 miles to get over. Happened the other day, I scared Melanie. Says, don't wreck my car. I was so upset. They had 3 miles to get over on the interstate. And they try to sneak in with me right with the arrows flashing. Hey, moron, it told you 3 miles ago to get over. So I sped up to try not to let them get over. I'm so bad. I'm just confessing, I'm so bad. That was yesterday. I know. I told you, I know. So man, I said, don't wreck my car. So I let off the gas. You ain't no fun. Let them get over. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. Go ahead, get over. Hey. So unpastor-like. So unchristian-like. Aren't you glad for grace? Not one of my finer moments. Right? We have those moments, church. And the law was a schoolmaster to show us the importance of grace. The importance of it. I mean, what if you were going 56 and a 55 and a cop pulled you and gave you a ticket? He has that right. Kevin, you have that right to pull somebody for one, legally, if they're 1 mile over, you can pull them over, right? Is it iffy? Okay. Good job, good 56 today. Man, you killed my point, man. Anyway. If you don't completely stop at a stop sign and you kind of roll, you can pull them for that, right? No matter if it don't completely stop, you can pull them for that, right? Okay, there's a good one. So you're at a stop sign. I'm trying to teach Ashley this. Ashley was bad about rolling. When Nick does it, thanks, Nick. And so you go to a stop sign. And you just kind of, you don't do that complete where your head goes back, right? You go and you kind of and keep going. Legally and technically, Kevin, if he don't see you come to a complete S-T-O-P, can P-U-L-L you over. Okay? Aren't you glad for grace that if that happens and Kevin walks up to your car, says, hey, man, you know, you didn't stop at that stop sign. That's a traffic violation, and I'm supposed to write you a ticket. But I'll tell you what, I'm in a good mood today, and it's about time for me to get off, and I don't want all this paperwork because me Pablo's is waiting on me. So you know what? You get a warning today. Oh, thank you, officer. Thank you, officer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You'd appreciate that grace, wouldn't you? Big time. Or seatbelt. You didn't get your seatbelt on. That's legal. They know it's Kevin don't care. Oh, I'm sorry. I was in a hurry and forgot. So? Or, well, I had it on, but I pulled up the bank ATM and forgot to put it back on. So? I've had seatbelt tickets, I know. I got one in my dad's truck one time. $150 I had to pay. It didn't matter. I told the cop, look, I had it on. I promised I did. I'd stop somewhere, and I got back in and forgot to put it back on. And he didn't care. So, $150. Aren't you glad for grace? In our spiritual lives, that's how we are, right? Somebody sees us, ooh, like on what's happening. I'm telling mama, ooh, I saw Gordon come out of the ABCD store. Ooh. I know, that's being funny. I know, y'all. I know there's no D, y'all, at ABC. Just being funny. So I don't go in there. I don't even know the name of it. But that's how we are spiritually. We want to put the law on people, right? You know the only difference in Catholics and Baptists? Catholics will speak to you in the ABC store. Anyway. So. It's all about grace. Not about the law. And this is what Paul was trying to say. It's a schoolmaster. Look at verse 25. But after faith has come, look at this. This is key. After that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Hallelujah. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God by my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't have to do it the Baptist way, or the Pentecostal way, or the Methodist way, or the Presbyterian way. I do it Christ way. I follow Jesus. I submit to Him. I believe what His Word says. And by faith in Him, I am now, thank God, a child of God. You know, the Catholic Church believes if you're not baptized in the Catholic Church, you're lost. That you must be baptized or christened, really is what it is, in the Catholic Church. And if you're not, then you're lost. I'm so thankful that I'm baptized in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful my faith is not in a denomination or a structure or an organization. My faith in the one who walked on the waters. My faith in the one that on the cross said, "It is finished," right before he died. What did he mean it was finished? You're free. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you're a servant to Christ. You're free. Thank God he set us free. Don't you sing that song, "He Set Me Free," in a minute. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. I may not have this on the screen, but that's okay. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond, nor free, nor male, nor female, for you are all uno in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ. That's why I say the church should be the one platform to where we come in as one body and one people, not divided by anything else. Male, female, black, white, Republican, Democrat. We are one in Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. That we in this room are here for one purpose, to lift up and praise the same King and the same Lord. You are no longer under a curse. He has set you free. It is this simple. Come up here, Marge, if you would. Why don't you play a little something soft first? I want to pray. And then we'll go into He Set Me Free. And Jody, you make your way up here on the drums for that He Set Me Free song. That you'll know. That'll be easy. I want to pray with you here today that you're ready to turn your life around. You're ready, okay? But you worry that you're not going to be able to keep it straight. Well, I got good news for you. You won't. You won't. You can't come up here expecting to walk away perfected. Not naturally. You can't walk up here expecting to go back and never mess up or sin. You're walking to say, Lord, by faith, I'm tired of the struggle, and I'm tired of my mind messing me up. I'm tired of trying to do it my way, and I'm always failing. God, I know it's only through you that I am safe and saved. It's only through you, God, that I'm your child. I want to offer that opportunity of faith to you this morning. That you say, I just am coming to receive. I believe in what you preach, Pastor. I believe in this word. I believe that Jesus is enough. I think sometimes what happens in our head is we think about it. We want to turn our lives around, but then our head gets in the way and says, yeah, but it's only going to be a prayer, and you're only going to be the same way, and you're only going to keep doing the same things. But when you truly receive the grace into your life, to where you say, Lord, here I am, and I'm laying it all down. It's not about me anymore. It's about what you did for me, and I trust that, and I believe that, and I receive that. Then what happens is that grace becomes a power in your life. That grace begins to lead your life. Instead of your mind leading you, it's grace that leads you. So I want to offer that this morning. I want to pray, and I'm going to open this altar up this morning. Father, I pray you speak to hearts right now, minds that are ready to make a decision to say, Lord, I believe. I know you love me. You're not against me. And God, I don't want to live under the curse of the law anymore. I'm ready to come out and be free. I'm going to quit trying to do it myself. I'm going to just relax and rest in your precious mercy and grace. I want to receive that today. I pray you speak to hearts, Lord, that will make that decision today to make that journey up here, to stand with me and say, here I am, Lord, and I receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing something real softly, Marjorie. As Marjorie sings, if you want to turn it around this morning, you want to lay it down, say, I've heard the word, I believe by faith that he is my Savior, and I'm ready to give it all to him today and walk away from here knowing I'm his child, not by what I do after this, but by what he did before this. If that is you, she sings a little something. Walk up here and just stand across here. Let's pray together this morning.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior is ransomed.
Say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to mess up many times over, but God, I'm coming to you, giving you all of me this morning, walking away knowing I placed my life in your hands this morning, and that from this point on, God, I'm your child and you're my Lord, and on this journey we'll walk it together, letting you lead me from this point on in all that I do. Amazing.